All right, 8:34 a.m. on September, not August, September 10th. I can't believe I said August. And I didn't even realize it until it was John who called me on it. Yeah, that'll happen. So anyway, 8:34. I'm out a little bit late today. Getting people off to school, off to work. I'm suspecting I'm going to get home and find that the off-to-work part didn't happen, but at least the kids got off to school today. It's Monday, so I've got a bunch of stuff I got to get done today, not the least of which is to plan the month. We're 10 days in, I haven't planned a month yet, which explains perhaps a little bit of why I haven't got anything done yet this whole month of September yet. So yeah, I'm, let's see, there's a lot of stuff I can't talk about, as always. I think it'll resolve itself eventually. I'll be able to talk a little bit about it. The, one of the things that I've been thinking about a lot lately. $18.15 for the first mile, that's not bad. Given how slow I had to go in the beginning to take the picture, which I've said every single time since I've started this, so perhaps I won't say that again. Anyway, memoir. One of the posts that Brand made a while back, and then he replicated when Nathan Lowell Presents came out, was a post about how he was pleased that his daughter would know artists, that no artists exist. And the point being that growing up, art was something that other people did. I think I've talked about this before. Art is something that other people do. Art is something that only a very elite few participate in. Art is something that is not a career, it's not a job, it's not really viable for real people, for people who have families and who need to make a living and who need to get by in the world. Artists are for some special class of people who aren't really real people. They're something set aside, something special. And that resonated with me on several fronts, not the least of which is that I have two kids. And when I think about what their growing up life is like compared to what mine is, mine was, to begin with, the poverty level that I grew up in would be practically horrifying, I think, if my kids were in that level. For me, it was always what it was, so there was no shift, there was no change, there was no, you know, this is just how it goes. But for my kids, and that would be, that would be a radical shift, that would be a radical change in lifestyle. And we wouldn't be able to do karate. That wouldn't be a question of, will you going this week or not? The question would be, no, we can't afford to send you to karate. Because that amount of extra money just isn't in the budget. And one of the things that I think changed my life in a very fundamental way was at what happened at the last week of August at Camp Wawanak, when I went up and did visitors week, guest week, and washed the dishes for the rich people. And it would have been easy for me to shrug them off as somehow different, as somehow like artists, because they all come from out of state, they all come from money, they all have the ability to spend a relatively large amount for the privilege of staying for a week or 10 days in an unheated cottage and eating what amounts to cafeteria food 3 times a day. It actually worked for part of the day. They had morning work parties where something that needed to get done, everybody would pitch in, and many hands make light work. For most of them, this was the only time all year that they did any physical labor, so it was always interesting. In the afternoons, we'd play tennis, or we'd go sailing, or we'd play with the canoes, or whatever. So I was exposed to this sort of... good morning. This sort of lifestyles of the rich and not necessarily famous. And because of that, I was set aside. I was just the groundskeeper's grandson. They would talk to me, they would play with me, I would hang out with them, we would tell stories together. It was okay. I ran with a bunch of the kids. And it was fine. It wasn't like I was pariah or somehow dirty or don't talk to him, he's one of the common people. These are all very nice folks, very nice, very approachable, very decent people. I liked every one of them. Some of them I liked more than others, of course, but some of them were young, attractive women. Those I liked more. However, the interesting part was actually the connections that I made. And looking back at it, of course, it's always the connections that you make. And one of the connections was with the camp counselor, a young woman from the south part of the United States, who came and lived at the campground, at the camp, it wasn't a campground, it was a camp, who lived at the camp year-round, and who did a lot of the work of the business of the camp over the winter, and later went on to take over ownership of the camp when the other owners, the original owners that I knew, passed it on, and she became the owner of the camp. What she was significant in my life for was that she was also a physical education teacher at a community college. And every once in a while, the community college would have a dramatic event. And she would get tickets and we would go. And she would stop by at my house and take me in because I was almost on the way. And it was a way for me to be introduced to art, to be introduced to the arts. And we would go, and I remember we went to see Antigone presented in French. And it was fascinating to me because I was taking French in high school. And I knew I could follow a large part of the play in French. And we would talk about it. There were a couple of plays that we went to, actually. And we'd always talk about them on the way home. It's like, well, what do you think about this character? What do you think about that character? How do you think this plays out? Or why do you think that's significant? And those are interesting conversations because they were perhaps some of the first adult conversations I ever had in my life. And in the winter, sometimes on weekends, we would go skiing. Downhill skiing, and she was a phys ed teacher, so she taught me how to ski, and she taught me how to ski right. And I would buy a lift ticket, and we would spend the day riding up and down. And she would talk to me about going to the Alps and skiing in the French Alps, or going to Switzerland and skiing there, all different places that she'd been to go skiing, and how it was different, but how it was the same. And we would stop and have hot chocolate in front of the fire and do the lodge thing for a while, and then we'd go back out again because it was expensive. And so we spent as much time as we could on the slopes. And we'd pack a lunch, we'd take it with us. And so she introduced me to that world as well. Now that was a world that I didn't stick with. The world of the arts was an interesting one to me. And so because, in large part, I think because of her influence, my early inclinations toward writing, toward poetry, toward plays, acting, was fostered in a great deal, in a very positive sense. So in a lot of ways, she opened the curtain up to a poor blue-collar boy from rural Maine. And between the activities at the camp at the end of the summer, where I was able to participate with the haves, even though I was one of the have-nots, and through the winter, where we were able to have philosophical discussions about things that are large issues. I think she introduced me to a wider world. She pulled back the curtain on a world of arts and letters that you don't need to be rich to participate in. You don't need to be a thespian treading the boards in Broadway or wherever, Royal Shakespearean Company. You don't have to be the one, because there's a whole range of places where even people who have no money, even people who have limited access, and in those days, rural Maine had barely telephone service in some cases. So access was exceptionally limited, particularly to somebody who couldn't drive, particularly somebody who was young. And even though I did have money because I worked in the factory during the summer, comparatively, I had a lot of money compared to some of my peers at school. My family had very little money compared to a lot of the people at school. But because I had a job that paid hard currency, because I had a job that paid more than the grocery store, and I worked more hours than the grocery store would allow, I had more money than my peers, at least for part of the year. When it ran out, I had to wait until summer again. But I think that was a very telling period. The high school years, the years where I spent the last week of the summer washing dishes, the summer where I learned what it was like to work on the mess deck, in effect. Because that was the year that I did. I worked in the kitchen. I worked in the galley. It was a scullery, dishwasher, trash taker outer. But in spite of that, in spite of everything that would have otherwise been an insurmountable obstacle, in spite of my background, in spite of my living conditions, which I might talk about more later, in spite of the conditions of my youth, because of science fiction that showed me that other worlds were possible, and because of this lady, whose name I won't give just to protect her, because of her showing me that those other worlds existed in places other than between the covers of books, because of that confluence, that lucky collection of activities that exposed me, and perhaps because I was the eldest son, the eldest of the children, and I saw it as my goal, my role, my part of my being, that it was my job to go out and break trail for the Sibs, to find the ways that the world worked, to help them understand it. And I had to go out and be a success because I was the oldest son, because eldest sons go out and are successful. And so the challenge, of course, was to find a way that I could become successful. And the way inevitably led away from the arts and into science, into computer science in particular. But it was interrupted in very early days by 5 years in the service because of the Vietnam War. But those routes, those ski trips where we would discuss, and I honestly can't even remember a single discussion that we had. Was occasionally we would talk about books. I remember we talked about books a lot because she was an Ian Fleming fan, and she loaned me all the 007 novels that she had at the time, and this would have been, it would have been someplace between 66 and 68, maybe 69. And I think I read them sooner, because I read them when I was much younger, because they were always around my grandparents' house, and I would go visit my grandparents. We'd have sleepover weekends. We'd go spend Friday and Saturday night with the grandparents. And those books would be on the bookstand, and so we would read them. And it was always a great deal of fun to read those books. But we talk about books, we talk about theater, we talk about skiing, we talk about all kinds of things that really didn't fall under the category of the meaning of life directly, but in hindsight really were. There were discussions that never happened around my house, where children were to be seen and not heard, where conversations with adults were restricted to classroom teachers, and only then within the parameters of the school's guidelines in terms of curriculum, staying on topic. Discussions with adults about real things. Discussions with parents about anything. That was pretty much limited. I think that's why later, when I went to work in the factory, having discussions with people who were real live adult workers, factory workers, people who saw me as something of a hanger-on, and to whom I had to prove myself, to whom they were at least willing to suspend contempt until I had earned it. And by working with them side by side, elbow to elbow every day, even though I would collapse at the end of the day and fall asleep on the ride home, I think that went a long way toward my understanding the idea of work ethic. Which brings me back around to, why is it half past September almost, and I haven't got anything done this month? Tree in my yard is beginning to have a little tinge of yellow in its leaves. The big cottonwood here on the corner hasn't really started turning yet, although I see there's a couple of yellow leaves tucked into the big green umbrella up there. It's kind of hard to see because I'm looking into the sun. The guy hasn't come to start working on the fence yet. I wish he would, because I need to mow. I think I've said before, I don't dare start the mower up until they're done with the marks on the lawn. At any rate, I've made 501 episodes as of this one. It's hard to believe that yesterday was number 500. And it just went by unmarked. Pretty much as today's does. But, as I always say, I'm at the back gate. Tomorrow's another day, and I'll talk to you then.